4 this morning. I'd like to start by reading the first few verses, first half of this chapter, and then we'll get into some thoughts here. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, my true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." In verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And this morning, like I said, we did last time we looked at the first couple of verses here of chapter 4 of Philippians, and it starts with "therefore," and we looked and we reviewed back on the first several chapters and pointed us to the first chapter. He talked to all the saints in Christ Jesus, and he explained some things, and he talked to us about safety in God's grace and safety in those things which he has revealed to his people. The second chapter we looked at a wonderful view of our Lord and Savior, and it exhorts the church by Christ's example. And in the third chapter, again he talks about that there's no salvation in the other gospel than that of Christ, and he tells a couple of times, says, beware of those that would not preach the gospel, but would enter in other things that subtly or not so subtly would be error. And he again tells him to keep these things in mind. And then at chapter 4, after those three chapters, he says, "Therefore," and he goes on and builds and reminds them of a few things because of those chapters. And I would like to read again this morning the first 7 verses of this, and we're going to look at a couple of thoughts. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And in passage here that we're going to look at this morning, a couple of verses, and especially the thought there in verse 3 at the end there. It talks about helping those women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. We're going to look at that thought some about the, speaking about being in the book of life. Before we do that, he talks about several people here above here, Euodius, Syntyche, and Clement, and other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Those other people, I don't believe they're ever mentioned at any other spot in the scripture, but they, by Paul's words here, they were fellow laborers, they were believers, and he finishes up that phrase about them that says whose names are in the book of life. So we're going to look at a couple of places this morning that deal with that. Start with Ephesians. We're not too far from there. Book of Ephesians, the first chapter. And a lot of these things we know and we get used to hearing and quoting and having quoted and are points that we believe in and as scriptural things. But sometimes we get common with them or maybe don't ponder enough sometimes those things. And in Ephesians chapter 1, it says in first verse of chapter 1, Ephesians, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And you could go down through the rest of this book, obviously. But speaking here of there, that in verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And here speaking about being blessed in Christ, according as he hath chosen us, verse 4, in him before the foundation of the world. These were things that were done, as we know, and we believe in God's predestination and omniscience of all things and determining all things. And indeed, if we believe in God's determining all things and his predestining all things with a purpose, that we have to also believe, as the scripture shows here, that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And this wasn't a looking down through time, future time, and seeing what was going to take place. But this was a determining because of what God knew was to be and had determined what to be, that these things would be so and that we were chosen in him. As we read in Philippians there, where it talks about those whose books are in the names are in the book of life, that indeed referring to the same thing, that God chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world and have their names written down and are known them. And then in chapter 2, while we're in Ephesians 2, or Ephesians also, chapter 2, verse 10 that goes with them, the first chapter 2, verse 10, it says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Again, the ones that He had chosen that would be blessed in Christ with all spiritual blessings and ordained beforehand, ordained or predestined that beforehand, determined that those things would be, and those people would be blessed in Christ and as the passage also said, that other one in the Philippians, that were accepted in the beloved, and that was done in time past in God's mind, and when He determined that those things are considered by God as done and not as we consider in worked out in time. I'd like to read a quote from Robert Hawker, and this is one of I enjoy what he has to say a lot of times, and have gotten some good direction from those things that he wrote many years ago. And here's a quote from Robert Hawker. They're not my words, they're his. It says, "All and every covenant mercy in Christ arises from the first and original source. They were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And hence, from the same everlasting love and on the same account, all the blessings they receive from the quickening and the regenerating grace of God, the Holy Ghost, with all His gifts and graces, from the first moment of God's electing love, until grace is summed up in glory, the whole and every one springs from hence. Their names are written in the book of life." And that's from Hawker's commentary on Philippians chapter 4, page 27. And as he said, all the blessings that we have that were determined back then stem from their names written in the book of life, and all that implies, and whether there's a physical book that God wrote down in, I don't believe it probably is the case, but as the picture of the priest that had that breastplate on that had their names on it of the tribes when they went in to offer sacrifice, those same picture of our Lord that has his people on his hands and before him ever before God and the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Lord himself. They all spring, it says, from that beginning, from when God determined to have a people, those people were known. It wasn't just a unknown nebulous type of number, but it was known to God. To us, it's not known. It says many. In places, it talks about many as the sand of the sea. In others, it talks about remnant of grace. Whatever that number is, God determined those numbers. He knows all of who were chosen and placed in Christ. In Luke chapter 20, I mean, at chapter 10, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 10, and this passage was read just last week, I believe, in one of the messages, but Luke chapter 10, verse 20, it says, he's talking to those that went out, the 70 returned again, verse 17, with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." So the Lord Himself, and that's what we... it says to rejoice in, and that we can count as something is that our names are written in heaven, not that anything else. That at this point he gave them, as they went out, some power to do a few things in his name, and not in their name, but in his name. But remember, as he says, notwithstanding that, that's not the thing to keep your eye on. To keep your eye on is that names are written in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 12, a couple of places. Just in a couple of places in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and following, it says, "But you are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." But up here it talks about general assembly of church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Again, the God knows his own. They're accounted. They're in the ledger, as it were. The book when things were first placed and put down, before the foundation that the world was made, that he had his people in mind and had them in the book, in the accounting of that. And in chapter 13, right there next door, Hebrews chapter 13, it says, starting in verse 8 and 9, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." And here, just a thought to them, as he talks about in Philippians when he said, "Wherefore, remember these things." Here is just a thought along that line to go with God's knowing his people, is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think that in itself is something to keep hold of and keep thought on, that God keeps his people in mind of, that whatever we approach or look towards or see things, that God does not change. And that verse in Malachi, in 3:6, where it says, "I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." And that chapter there, first chapter, speaking about God's love of his people, of Jacob as he loved and Esau as he hated, that was not determined in time, otherwise it might have been reversed if God had looked down to see the type of person, outwardly speaking, the men were, that Jacob may not have won that contest. But God had determined before that he was, that's who he was, and put his affection on. And it goes through there. And they did not understand that, but God has had a people, and he does not change towards those people. In Psalm 89, turn to Psalm for just a minute, the book of Psalms. Psalm 89, verses 34 and 35. Psalm 89, it says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. And there, particularly in 34 and 35, he says, he will not break his covenant, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. Again, with that verse in Malachi, saying that once he has said a thing, it says, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. When God has determined a thing, it's done. It's determined. It's not as we are. We determine a lot of things that we change our mind on down the road, or circumstances doesn't allow us to do that. And we're not dealing with a God whose circumstances will not allow him to have what he has determined stand. His counsel will stand, and it does stand. In Romans chapter 8, and we could, there's a lot of in the Psalms that we could say and be with. The next Psalm, even 90, talks about from everlasting God has done a few things that before the mountains were, these things were determined in his covenant, and it says as a year is just no time with God, 1,000 years is no time with God. In Romans chapter 8, and we don't have to stretch much to find in the scriptures that this is so, that God has a people and is about that business of redeeming that people. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start with a very common passage we're going to look through here, verse 28 and following. And it says, and that we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We're going to read more, but we're going to stop there just for a second, at least. And it says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This is claimed by a lot of people. All things work together for good. And that's kind of where they stop sometimes. But it says here, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, or to purpose. It's not a undetermined thing. It's a determined thing. It's a purposeful thing. The ones that he has given to our Lord himself for his honor and for his glory was for purpose. It wasn't just, we sometimes look at ourselves and wonder what that purpose, you know, how that purpose was determined. But God, as he so wills, he determined what would be those people and called according to that purpose. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here, again, in this passage, those that were called according to His purpose are blessed and in the Christ's love. It says, who should separate us from that love? If God has placed us there, if God has, by His purpose, called us and accounted us there, all those things that it spoke about and all the things, the promises that we have in Scripture to us are assured. And it finishes up again, from the love of God which is separate, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's all keyed into Him. We have nothing outside of Him that we can count as a blessing. Now the anybody that's on the earth that's breathing and eating and living can count that blessing that they have from God in a physical sense. All those things come from God, but being in Christ, He spared us. He didn't spare His Son, but He spared us from the guilt and punishment of sin, and we have all those blessings, as it says up here in 28 and following, because we were called in Him. Revelation chapter 20, another passage that was brought up recently, but here again for this thought. Revelation chapter 20. Excuse me. Starting with verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And those that God placed in the book of life, their names are there. They're all there. And God's people, when they're, everyone it says is gathered there, stand before God. God's people are not standing there for judgment or to determine what their situation is. They're there as witness, as it were, of it, and to rejoice and honor and glorify the Lord Himself. This is not a time of judging to find out. If when the book's written and those names are there, as it's open here and written, those names, those are not judged. They're justified by having their names in there, and then by the work that the Lord indeed did for His people. So this is not we're not judged those things that we have done or do by nature, or the sin nature primarily, or the actions. Those things are taken care of, and by being in that book of life, to start with, determined all those, we can say that all things work for good for those people. God has determined a good end, and it's everything along the way is been determined and does work out best. And as He sees it, not only best as God sees it for everybody, but best for us as far as being in Him and those blessings that receive because of that. Turn to 1 Peter. And First Peter chapter 1, at the beginning of the book here at 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And here it speaks about elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. So here again, elect by God's doing and God's doing only. And it says according to the foreknowledge of God that He determined that He would have this people, that our Lord would be given life again through His mercy by the resurrection of our Lord from the dead. And that it's not these, sometimes I think people read through these or we get kind of comfortable with the wording of it, and it's just, yeah, we believe that, and sometimes the impact, we don't ponder those things sometimes and consider what it's really saying and how that affects us. But in these verses, that if God had, on the other hand, if God had not placed our names in that book of life, the end is told there too. Romans chapter 11, please. Romans chapter 11. Again, Romans chapter 11, the first several verses. It says, I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. Wot ye not what the Scripture saith to Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. And here, verse 5, in verse 4, he told him, he had 7,000 that he wasn't aware of that had not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. And then at this present time, it says, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And those are the ones that are written in the book of life. Then they're not going to be taken away from or added to as God has determined. And as it said, He changes not. He didn't change His mind. If He had changed His mind, as He said in Malachi, there might be a little bit of an issue we have to deal with. If God has changed His mind towards His people. And then, in 2 Timothy, we got just a couple of minutes. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and this is all obviously good stuff, but and what we have a record for that we, by His grace and mercy, believe He causes us to believe. But it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." That is something to hang your hat on. God's people, as it says, saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That several things it says there, that not according to how we are is his grace and mercy to us. It's in Christ Jesus. And not only that, it says given us in Christ Jesus before the worlds began. It wasn't an end time thing that God determined who His people were going to be. This was done, it says, before the world began. And that's who it's speaking of in the Lamb's Book of Life, or the Book of Life, are those that God has chosen. And then one more spot I've got to go in the Book of John. John chapter 17. And if we ever have, or when we have, or when we're looking into things that we have because of Christ and His view of His people, the Book of John is, as other scriptures, full of things. But here, the Lord's words Himself, the first few verses of chapter 17 of John, and it says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." And it doesn't stop there in His words, but here, all those that are His, the Father gave Him. And it says in Him that He will have them and has given them and kept them and will keep them. And it goes on in that vein. But here the thoughts from the beginning there of chapter 4 of Philippians, that God has a people that He has put down and has a record of. There's a record of that. There's an accounting of that, of God's people that were given to the Son and that he's redeemed. And that is a comfort to God's people that it's finished and taken care of, and we will end up in His image, and we will be there to glorify God. Amen. And as Mike would say now, be free. Thank you.